You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. Let's do this thing. Second round of the National Basketball Association playoffs began yesterday. The Los Angeles Clippers were eliminated yesterday. The Golden State Warriors will now face the Utah Jazz on Tuesday. We break down tonight's matchups. The Toronto Raptors and the Cleveland Cavaliers, they've already danced before in the postseason. Last year in Eastern Conference Finals, the Cleveland Cavaliers eliminated the Toronto Raptors in six games. The Raps get the Cavs again. Before the playoffs started, I sincerely believe that the Toronto Raptors could run the table and make it to the NBA Finals. After what we saw against the Milwaukee Bucks, it's hard for me to back that up right now against this Cleveland Cavalier team. But basketball is all about matchups. And believe it or not, this is actually a better matchup for the Toronto Raptors against the Cavaliers, as crazy as that sounds, than it is against the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks actually play defense. The Cavaliers don't. You know, Kyrie Irving's not Malcolm Brogdon. Malcolm Brogdon's not Kyrie Irving, and Malcolm Brogdon can't score 30 points a night like Kyrie can, but Malcolm Brogdon's a good defender. Kyrie Irving is not a good defender. I expect Kyle Lowry to put up much bigger numbers in this series. Ibaka's brought in right now to guard Kevin Love. Very, very interesting matchups. We're going to be breaking it down. Steve Merrill joins us. Paul Bovey joins us, talks of basketball. Houston Rockets, San Antonio Spurs. You know, I know the Rockets are a trendy pick in this series, and you guys know me. I'm a trendy dude, man. I like to hop on the trendy picks, but I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing it. And San Antonio baffles me. And I don't believe San Antonio are as good as their record says they are. But at the same point in time, once again, basketball is all about matchups. And I think it's a bad matchup for the Houston Rockets, as evidence of the fact that the San Antonio Spurs have beaten the Rockets 8 of the last 10 times that they have played. Speaking of getting beat every time they play, the Pittsburgh Penguins are up right now 2-0 on the Washington Capitals. I've got no confidence in the Capitals this evening. Yeah, they're going to be desperate tonight, but we'll give you a pick on that a little bit later on. We had an epic boxing match, man. Klitschko and Joshua over the weekend. Ton of stuff to get to. It's a big week. NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs. We pick up the pieces following the National Football League draft. UFC is back in the octagon later in the week with a damn good card as well. You know what? Business is picking up. Or is the UFC back? It's hard to, you know, it's like they're every week. I think it's this week. I know the Kentucky Derby's this week. And we're going to be breaking that down on Red Heat and Rage Radio tonight. You know what else we have on the program today? Pick up the pieces following the NFL draft. The star of the NFL draft. And, you know, we got the star. Not Myles Garrett. Drew Pearson. Drew Pearson's going to join us on the program today. How cool is that? We give you the big names here on Game Time Decisions. And we're so cool, we didn't just jump on the Drew Pearson bandwagon. Drew was with us a couple of months ago. And Drew Pearson was set to join us on Friday's show. But we also had Randy Cross, and Pearson was booked a little bit later on. Randy Cross called us a little bit late, if you recall, on the program. Drew Pearson was bounced and bumped until Monday's program, which was damn good because, little do we know, on Saturday, Drew Pearson was going to go and stir the pot and, with the most epic NFL draft pick call out of all time. So Drew Pearson will join us on the program. So the 2017 National Football League draft is officially in the books. And even though the blockbuster trade went down on Thursday, we're still talking about the blockbuster trade. And there was a great read today, SI.com, Monday morning quarterback, Peter King. Peter King was embedded with the San Francisco 49ers. So Peter King was in the room when this thing went down. And he shares what happened. And it's a fascinating read. And it's pretty much everything that we actually expected. You know, the sense that the San Francisco 49ers were not taking Mitch Trubisky. It wasn't on their radar. They didn't consider it. They weren't going to do it. All right. Now, when the Chicago Bears contacted them with the deal, and now for the record as well, there was no other team. There was nobody else. All right. Nobody was moving up to get Trubisky. John Lynch bluffed. Of course, you're going to say that to your GM. Yeah, we're getting a lot of calls. What are you going to say? No one's calling us. Oh, we're getting a lot of calls, and Ryan Pace freaking fell for it. So Ryan Pace falls for it. And what's amazing and a fascinating part about this deal is the San Francisco 49ers was no secret they wanted Solomon Thomas. Hell, you know, a jackass idiot like me had Solomon Thomas going to the 49ers in my mock draft. Like, come on, I'm not an NFL GM. I knew the 49ers wanted Thomas. Now, part of it being a job of a GM in the draft is actually knowing what the other teams are going to do. It's not just what you're going to do. You have to predict what other teams are going to do. What are the teams want as well? Evidently, Ryan Pace doesn't understand that concept. So we all know that San Francisco wanted Thomas. He panics. So they do the deal. And the deal was so good that John Lynch, general manager of the 49ers, was like, damn, I think they're taking Thomas. And you know what? We love Thomas, but we got to take this deal. So they adapted on the fly. So this is what's really funny about this. They do the deal, all right? So the deal is done. And then Lynch asked them. He asked them, he goes, so anyways, who are you guys taking? You know, why did you just do this? Who are you guys taking? Pace tells them, we can't tell you. Which is kind of ridiculous, considering there's nothing San Francisco can do about it right now. It's done, right? Like, it's done. So Chicago says, oh, we can't tell you. San Francisco is like, what the hell? They won't tell us. What do they care right now? We just did a deal with them. Like, it's their pick now. We can't do anything about it. If they tell us they're taking Trubisky, so what? We just gave you the pick. So the Bears told them, we can't tell you what we're going to do, but you're not going to like the player that we take. So Lynch was convinced. He's like, damn. These guys traded up to get Solomon Thomas. We better think of somebody else. What else are we going to do right now? And then they're watching like everyone else, and they see Trubisky, and they start laughing. And they're like, oh, my God, we just got all these draft picks from the Chicago Bears, and we're getting the guy we were going to take anyways. Great, great read. Check it out over at SI.com. So Monday morning quarterback. So we know. That the San Francisco 49ers were one of the big winners of the day. And we also know that the Chicago Bears were a big-ass loser. And it wasn't just this trade. Listen, maybe Mitch Trubisky turns out to be a rock-solid NFL quarterback, and we all, have to eat it. It could happen, right? But, after Ryan Pace did this, and after Ryan Pace didn't interview him, didn't meet him, no private workouts, John Fox was unaware of this. John Fox reportedly is like, what, the management is freaking out right now. People are mocking the Bears in NFL circles like they just set themselves back 4 years. So they followed this up. They took a tight end from Ashland. Ashland High School? What the hell is Ashland? And you know what? This Adam Sheehan kid, the tight end, he is a prospect and stuff. So I'm not going to say whatever. But it's a gamble. And then they followed that up. They took a running back from North Carolina A&T. Not NC State, not North Carolina. North Carolina A and freaking T. Listen, I'm not going to say that the small college guys can't play in the National Football League because there are small college Hall of Famers in the NFL. But with that being stated, how many running backs are there in the NFL from North Carolina A and freaking T? They drafted a guard from Kutztown. Hey, Pace, are you aware that you're allowed to draft players to play Division I football in the NFL draft? Like, did you think that this is like a 1AA draft, Division II draft? He took one freaking player from a big-time school in Alabama. And, I'm not talking about only good players play at big schools, but it's about the level of competition, about the conference. How the hell do you know if this kid's any good and he played at Kutztown? Who did he guard? Preposterous. The Chicago Bears, giant-ass losers, and Bears fans are pissed, and understandably so. But let's take a quick look at a couple others, winners and losers, since everyone's only talking about the Bears and the 49ers so much. The Tennessee Titans, big winners, in my opinion. Getting Corey Davis, getting Tywan Taylor, great wide receivers. Adding to an already dynamic offense, Delanie Walker, DeMarco Murray, Derrick Henry, Marcus Mariota. Now you add these wide receivers. These guys are going to put up like 30 points a game. They scored like 24 points a game last year, but Marcus Mariota got hurt. I like that, they picked up a DB from USC. Tennessee Titans, these guys are for real. Like nightmare type stuff for defensive coordinators. International Football League in Las Vegas agrees. Las Vegas has set the win total for the Titans at 9.5 as the South Point in Vegas was the first ones out of the gate after the draft to release regular season win totals. I like what the Titans did a lot. Love what the Colts did. And I'll tell you what, you see it. You see the proof right away. Chris Ballard gets brought in. I told you guys this a couple of weeks ago. Ballard's in from Kansas City, you know, meat and potatoes, all business type of dude, as opposed to Grigson, the guy that used to take the flashiest freaking toy on the board all the time, whether they need it or not. You know, come on, you look at the Colts drafts over the years, always soft. You know, this year, not so soft, man. They step up and in. Malik Hooker, Quincy Wilson, Terrell Basham, all defensive studs. All defensive studs that you're going to need against this Tennessee Titan offense. Surprisingly enough, the Buffalo Bills, even though they fired the general manager after the draft, really had no impact on this draft. And the Buffalo Bills, similar to the Indianapolis Colts, all business. New head coach Sean McDermott took over the draft room, and he didn't pick the players per se. They gave him a list, and he scratched players off of it. And he only wanted players with certain traits, overachievers, leaders, characters, hard-nosed, mean-streak, nasty kids. The Dawkins kid was a freaking steal. A steal out of Temple. One of the best offensive linemen on the board. The kid's a mean-ass dude. He'll knock his grandmother over. Mean kid. Mean kid. Trey White, great DB out of LSU. Zay Jones is the next Odell Beckham. You heard it here first. This kid's going to make highlight reel freaking catches, and the Buffalo Bills might have a quarterback. Nate Peterman, man, best quarterback in the Senior Bowl. There's something about this kid. He's got that it factor. This kid can ball. The Buffalo Bills, great job at the draft table. But when it's all said and done, my real winner, the Houston Texans. A good football team just got better. They got the best quarterback in the draft in Deshaun Watson. There's no reason why Watson can't do what Dak Prescott did last year for the Dallas Cowboys. Similar situation. He's surrounded by talent. He doesn't have to win games by himself. And the Houston Texans are a double-digit win team with piece of crap quarterbacks. Deshaun Watson's going to play well as a rookie. Love the Zach Cunningham pickup, linebacker. They knocked it out of the freaking park. And one of my favorite running backs in the draft, Dante Foreman out of Texas, provides a great thunder and lightning package with Lamar Miller. Well done by the Houston Texans. So the NFL draft is done, but the season is officially begun. It's go time. Numbers are up on the board. Let's do it. Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. It's only Monday. It's the first segment of the week. And camera two, Drew's already trolling me. He's like, I can't wait during the commercial break. Can't wait to bet Hammer the under in the Tennessee Titans. They're going to win six games. Marcus Mariota sucks. He's overrated. So, again, they're going to win six. Yeah, you're right. They're going to win six games in the first 8 weeks of the season. The Titans will be at six by the end of October, all right? But their defense is an issue. And I tell you, that AFC South, they used to really suck rocks, actually turning around right now, and it's looking pretty good. I think the Colts are going to be good. And the Colts, I told you, the Colts are one of my draft winners. But the Colts actually have a very favorable schedule because they've been crap recently. So they got a favorable schedule this year. Actually, you know, three of the first five games the Colts play, Jags, 49ers, and another crappy team. Who's the other one? Jags, 49ers, and Browns. Yeah, literally. Like, the Colts, like, no reason why the Colts don't get off to a 4-1 start. Let's bring in Steve Merrill right now. We got a ton of stuff to get to and not a ton of time since I rambled off the opening. How you doing, Steve?
Hey, Gabe. I'm actually looking at the totals now. Coverage.com has an article on it, and it's interesting because, this, you know, the South Point released them yesterday, and CG Technology had done it, they said, for years, and they didn't want to do it this year because they've lost the last two seasons. They said point blank we're being more conservative. So there is value with these. You know, we talk about that trade-off of tying your money up for G. What is it? I mean, it's almost 9 months at this point. Your money will be tied up. But, you know, if you have an edge, you have an edge. It's better than, you know, a stock market that might go down, I guess.
Yeah, there really is, Steven. You know, case in point was the Atlanta Braves. I was talking a lot about the Braves in the offseason. And remember Atlantis up in Reno? They were the first, they're, you know, that's their thing now. They're the first ones out of the gate with baseball stuff.
Right.
Way ahead of everyone. They put the Atlanta Braves up at 71.5. I loved it. I never got an opportunity to bet that, Steve, because it was 76.5 offshore by the time it was copied and pasted and adjusted. So, yeah, you definitely, someone, that's worth it. Right then and there, that is worth it when you're getting a huge investment like that.
Yeah, no question. The only time it's worth playing these is if you're getting a good number because you can maybe hedge it. And even then, your money's tied up for several months just to make, you know, a small profit maybe. Or if you think you're really getting a value play. A couple that quickly jump out at me. You know, last year my play-on teams were Oakland and Tampa, and both won outright as road dogs. Tampa beat Atlanta on the road in week one, and then they really kind of faltered. Oakland, of course, was strong all year till Carr got hurt. But you look, I'm looking at that NFC South. You look at Tampa at 8. I think they're a play-on team still because they didn't perform quite as expected last year. You look at the Saints at 8.5. I just feel like the Saints get older every year and not any better. So that's just a couple that jumped out at me in that division.
Yeah, I would agree with you. You and I were both high on the Bucs last year. I don't see why they can't be a 9-10 win team this year, like the draft that they did as well. The Patriots are the highest total on the board at 11 wins. Browns are the lowest at 4. And the immediate reaction from everyone I talked to about the Browns is, they should be able to win at least 4 games. But I thought they'd be able to win 4 games last year, too, and they didn't.
Yeah, I mean, the only way you lose that is if they go 3 or less, because at least you get a push with 4. So really, it's like, can they win more than 3 games? That division is fairly weak still, but it's competitive. So that's a concern. By the way, the Titans at 9.5 is pricey, but they're a good team. Jacksonville, 5.5. Did Jacksonville maybe turn it around? A lot of people thought last year they were a play-on team, and they were terrible again. Maybe this is the year the Jags can get to 6 wins or more.
Yeah, you know what stood out to me a bit here was the Dallas Cowboys, a public team. I'm like, you know, you figure the Cowboys. I was like, man, Cowboys would probably be 10.5, since they're such a public team. Very surprised to see the 9.5. And I think this is a case, Steve, where I'm willing to say right now, we see a 9.5 here. There's going to be 10s. By the time this stuff gets offshore and it's a mainstream bet, it's not going to be 9.5. It's going to be 10.
Yeah, a couple of things there. First of all, the Patriots, you look at the division, it's 11. Every other team in the AFC East is 7.5 or less. You know, so basically, they're the only winning team in that division. You look at the NFC East, and every team is 7.5 or more.
Yeah.
So, you know, right there, that's worth a game or two for the Patriots versus the Cowboys just because they have a tougher schedule in the division. And then again, the quarterback, you know, I always lean towards unders because the over, everything has to work out right. The under, it could be the right situation, and then an injury helps you even more at quarterback. If Brady gets hurt, they can still win without him. We've seen that. Now that Romo's not in the picture, I think if Prescott gets hurt, we know the Cowboys could be one of the worst teams in the league, as we saw a couple years ago.
Very interesting. Very interesting. All right, Steve, let's jump in right now, talk some basketball, Raptors and Cavs. And we'll get back to some more NFL. NFL's here. We'll start to break down these win totals more extensively. Raptors and Cavs, no secret here, Steve. Raptors are 1-11 all time in game ones, as we know. Meanwhile, LeBron James, I think it's 24-4 or 25-4 in game ones, whatever it is. So, you know, the pattern's here, Steve. We know the Raptors never freaking win game one of playoff series.
Right. So it's almost too obvious to pick them here, at least from a contrarian standpoint.
I'm a Raptors fan, and I say take the Cavs. Like, I the Raptors didn't look good against the Bucks, but they played good defense. They did win in 6. And it's all matchups, and they've always matched up well, Steve, with the Cavs. They took them 6 last year, right. And this year they lost 3 of the 4 games, and they won 1 game when the Cavs were resting guys. But they were all 3-point games. They were all very close games.
Yeah, the concern I would have, obviously, is in that 6-game series last year, Cleveland won by double digits in both games 1 and 2 at home, and then Toronto won games 3 and 4 at home. So,
yep.
You know, that game one angle definitely held up last year for both squads. Cleveland was dominant as they always are, and Toronto was terrible as they always are. So, and that ended up being a competitive series, and they still got blown out in game one. So that's a huge concern. Yet, I still think these are two teams that are closer than the public realizes, and I think there actually might be some value with Toronto. You know, it's one of those things where it's hard to make a case for them based on the past results and history, but I think it should be a competitive series like it was last year, and I think it's probably a little closer in game one than last year's game one.
You know, I was surprised that the number was a little higher. Last year in game one, they were 11-point favorites against the Pacers.
And they got blown out, yeah.
Yeah, against the Pacers, they were in the 9.5-10 range for the most part at home. I was surprised to see it at 6.5. One thing I can tell you about the Raptors is, Steve, when the Raptors lose, they lose ugly. The Raptors generally don't lose close games. It's very strange. They either win or they'll have like a really ugly performance and they'll get massacred like they did against the Bucks, actually. Like when they lost to the Bucks, it was always by double digits. They didn't lose close games. They got overwhelmed or they won. And that's been a pattern of theirs. It was a pattern last year in the playoffs. It was a pattern in the regular season with this team. So it's something to keep our eye on. But I'm leaning with the Cavs here. As far as the total, Steve, hard not to like the over 208. Interesting that the Cavaliers are the first team since 1995 to sweep a playoff series and give up 100 points in all four games.
Yeah, and the Celtics, as I've said a few times, the least efficient number one seed in the past 30 years. So we've got a lot of weird stuff going on in the playoffs this year. Yet the favorites basically won every series still, except for the Clippers-Utah series, and that was a 4-5. One thing I will point out also is that, you know, Toronto, as you said, they either win or they get blown out, it seems. Plus 240 on the money line might be worth a small play if you think they're going to be competitive tonight. The total's around 208. One thing about Cleveland compared to last year is they're a weaker defensive team this season. I think that favors Toronto. And also, Toronto does not like, you know, not really good in the front court. And Milwaukee had some good size up front of all the playoff teams, even though they were a mediocre team overall this year. Cleveland not quite as dangerous in the front court. So I think Toronto actually matches up a little better in some regards with Cleveland than they did with Milwaukee.
I said the same thing off the top of the program. The same thing. It sounds crazy. How do they match up better with a juggernaut like the Cavs? But
right.
Malcolm Brogdon, 6'5", man. He's a good defender. The kid from Virginia. Kyle Lowry is like 6 feet if he's lucky. You know what I mean? Like, it was a big matchup problem. The Greek Freak's a matchup issue for anybody. You're right.
Right.
Rockets and Spurs. A lot of people are trending here with the Rockets and, oh, they can beat the Spurs. Normally, I jump on board with this, but I can't overlook the fact, Steve, that the Spurs won 3 of the 4 games this year and have won 8 of the last 10 times they played. They always seem to beat the Rockets.
Yeah, the most public side for today or tomorrow in the NBA playoffs at covers.com is Houston.
Oh, good. 58%. So I like San Antonio even more then. Good.
Yeah, so that doesn't surprise me that you think, you know, the public's looking at Houston, because I believe they probably are. And I lean to the Spurs for that reason as well. And the other thing that jumps out to me here, this is the classic offense versus defense matchup. We talk about in the Super Bowls, defenses usually come out ahead. And in the San Antonio is the one team here in the playoffs. Well, Utah also, now that they advanced. But San Antonio is the real defensive team in the playoffs. Everybody else, you know, run and gun this season. And the Rockets are the ultimate example of that. But unlike Golden State, Houston can't play any defense. And I think that's where San Antonio has the edge in this series and in game one tonight.
Yeah, you're right. That's the big difference. The Rockets score 116 points a game. Yeah, they never scored that once this year against the Spurs when they played them.
Good point.
The Spurs always give up 99 a game. Yet the difference is Houston gave up 109 a game. It's interesting, Steve, out of the four games, we've got to get out of here too, though. Out of the four games, 3 of the 4 of them went under the number, and there was one push. But generally, they played into the low 200s, 206, 204, 208 type of stuff. I'm an over-better. I like the over in the Cavs-Raps game, but I'm passing on the total of this one. Maybe I'll play in-game.
Well, they're somewhat correlated, probably. However, I will say San Antonio is capable of scoring against bad defenses, so that's
exactly
the one caveat there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, we got to get out of here, but I wanted to bring up quickly Baseball Market Watch. You did your baseball rankings. Check them out. The power rankings over at CoversExperts.com on Steve Merrill's page. But something that caught my eye here: the Chicago White Sox. Nobody talks about the White Sox. They're only 13-10, but they're plus 777 on the season, Steve. Units. Big dogs today. They were plus 155. People bet it down to plus 140. Kansas City on a 9-game losing streak. I like the dog tonight in the Sox.
Yeah, I've only got the White Sox at number 16 in my rankings. However, I've got the Royals dead last this week. World Series champs from, 2 years ago, and they're dead last right now. They just have absolutely no offense. Their pitching's been okay, but their offense has been dreadful. Until they turn that around, they're going to continue to struggle, and you just can't lay money with teams like that.
No, and Vargas has been good this year, and he's got good numbers, as we just put up on the screen, but 1-3 with a 6.670 earned run average in his career against the White Sox. I think they're a live dog. Number one in Merrill's power rankings, the Houston Astros. They're big favorites tonight against the
Rangers.
They were.
They fell to 2 this week. I had to put the Nationals up after scoring
23
runs yesterday.
Okay, that's right, the Nationals. Yeah, all right. So, yeah,
23
Nationals.
Runs yesterday, man. That was enough for me to bump them one just for
the fun. What'd you say in your head? They scored like 170 runs already this year or something like
They're the number one team in the league right now in scoring, and that's always been their big problem. What's killing them actually is their bullpen. But this is a sleeper team right now. I mean, they've been close for a few years. If they can get that reliever situation squared away, they're maybe the best team in baseball right now.
Steve, we got to get out of here. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Gabe.
Drew Pearson joins us next. Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues. Let's get right down to business and bring in a man who is the star of the weekend. And just like Ryan Pace, the Bears general manager, Wikipedia page was changed and altered after his ridiculously stupid move. our boy Drew Pearson's page was added. It's funny. I don't know if Drew knows this. If you look at Drew Pearson's accomplishments, you know, three-time Pro Bowler, you know, Ring of Honor, Dallas Cowboys, all-decade, 70s team. And then at the bottom it says 2017 NFL Draft Savage Award winner. Drew Pearson joins us. Drew, what's going on, man? Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us. I know you're really busy, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm participating in a little charity golf event and been doing a lot of interviews, but glad to be on with you today. Thanks for having me.
No, it's always a pleasure. It's always a pleasure. We spoke a couple of months ago about the Romo situation. So first things first, Joe, I got to ask you, were you planning on stirring the pot a little bit? It seemed improvised, or was it the booing just got to you and you figured, you know what, I'm going to give it back to these guys?
No, I had planned part of my address, what to say and all that, but the booze did get to me, and it got my adrenaline flowing and got me pumped up and fired up for it, and I just brought it. And the louder they yelled, the louder I talked. I didn't know. I just wanted to make sure that everybody was hearing what I said, so I got louder, and then, of course, the emotion came with that naturally.
But it's gonna,
so I was able to handle it.
It's gonna catch fire now. You're gonna see now. Every year, someone's gonna step up and in it. In case you were incarcerated or hospitalized over the weekend, and you were unaware, let's just play people. Let's play people. Drew Pearson's epic rant at the draft.
To announce the Dallas Cowboys selection, please welcome the University of Tulsa. Wide receiver, Drew Pearson.
How about them Cowboys? I am honored as an undrafted free agent to be selected to make the Cowboys second round draft pick. And on behalf of the five-time world champion, Dallas Cowboys, Hall of Fame owner, Jerry Jones, T. Jones and the Jones family, Coach Jason Garrett, all the Cowboy players that played before me, that played with me, and played after me, with the second pick and the 60th pick in the second round, the Dallas Cowboys select defensive back from Colorado, Kadobi Awuzie.
Absolutely freaking epic. Absolutely epic. I got to tell you, Jumet, the booing, the hate, it sounded like that was Donald Trump at a Black Lives Rally matter, man. They were booing so much.
Well, I actually had more security than Trump would get when he came to Philly, when he comes to Philly.
Yeah,
they had me well secured after I made that announcement, that's for sure.
So you said, I heard earlier this morning, you said Goodell loved it. He said he thought it was great, huh?
Oh, yeah. I thought it was awesome, and everybody, all Cowboy Nation, loved it. And, you know, those Eagles fans, they got a lot of hatred in them. They hate all those teams, of course, in the NFC East, but they saved the best hatred for the Dallas Cowboys. And after Harry Carson went up there and got booed, and then Clinton Portis with those ugly shoes went up there and got booed. I knew I was going to get my
The Cowboys.
And I was kind of ready for it.
Man, you're lying. No, I want to thank the Eagles fans for letting me have a career in the league. You just came out full out heel. Like, man, Vince McMahon would have been proud. But I'm thinking, Drew, and you follow college ball and stuff. So, you know, you're on top of everything. But I'm thinking, out of all the names, you got to go up there with Kadobi Awuzie. How many times did you go over this kid's name?
Yeah, they kind of gave me that card. Didn't have much time to prepare for that, but they told me to pronounce his name phonetically, and they had it written out that way. And I tried to do that, but I got caught in this excitement and had to hesitate a minute to think of what the right pronunciation would be for his name. Here's a kid that waited all his life to be drafted into the NFL, and now he's going to get his name mispronounced, and after all that hoopla that led up to the announcing of his name. So I wanted to get it right, but they certainly did not give me a John Smith or Barry somebody. They gave me the hardest name to pronounce in the draft.
And me, I butcher all names, Drew. I would have been, man, can I announce the Ryan Switzer pick? I can do that one. Like, you know, so that's you're joined right now, man. You and Kadobi are joined joining at the hip. But I'm fascinated by that, actually, with the draft. How? So do the Cowboys know? Did you know the whole time? Do they come 30 seconds before? Do they have a couple of names on a card? How does that work?
No, they kind of gave it to me a couple minutes before, and it was just one name on the card. And I guess the Cowboys at that point had pretty much made their selection and sent it down to the folks that at NFL Network for the announcement. So I had about 5 minutes or so to learn how to pronounce the name and find out who was that second round draft pick. But while I'm backstage there, after the commissioner announced that the next pickup is the Dallas Cowboys, the crew started right then and there. And as he came back, he said, "Are you ready for this?" I told him, "Yes, I'm used to being booed in Philadelphia, so it's no big deal." I said, "As a matter of fact, I might say, if it wasn't for the Eagles and the Eagle fans, I wouldn't have had a career in the NFL." I'm saying that thinking he would say, "Oh, no, don't say that, don't say that." But he encouraged me to say it. He said, "That'll really get them riled up. Say it." So I said it.
That's absolutely awesome. As we're with Drew Pearson right now. Drew, you know, I love what the Cowboys did as far as the draft is concerned as well. I like the players that they took. But I wanted to ask you, did you get an opportunity? Did you see Brian Westbrook's response to you on Sunday?
Yeah, I did. I was home by then. I got the heck out of there on the first flight on Saturday morning. I was in Dallas by 9:30 that Saturday morning. But I did watch it on Sunday, and I watched it. And he and Brian Westbrook and Brian Dawkins tried to recover. But I'm thinking on my couch, laying there listening to that, too late, guys. Just like Herm Edwards was always too late trying to cover.
Oh, that's cold. Now you're calling Herm out. Now you're calling Herm out.
I know. He called me out on TV this morning, so I call him out now. I try to give him a pass, but
oh, that's cold.
I'm laying it all on the line now.
That's cold, Drew. Just like Herm was too late. For the younger people to all know, man, Herm was a DB on the Eagles, right? So, Drew, you used to burn Herm Edwards.
Yeah, I had many battles against him over the years. I think we came in around the same time and left around the same time. And I played the Eagles, 31 times in my career. We won 16 of those games.
So,
no, 21 times. Excuse me, 21 times and won 16.
So before we get you out of here, I know you're really busy. We just got another minute here, and you're doing a ton of TV hits right now. What is it about the Dallas Cowboys? We don't see other franchises and other players have that same attachment and passion that you guys are all really Cowboys for life, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the fact that I played all my career with the Cowboys, there's no question I'm a Cowboy for life. I grew up a New York Giant and New York Jet fan from New Jersey.
Yeah.
So I became a Cowboy fan when I got that first signing bonus of $150.
$150?
Yeah, 720s and a 10 they paid me.
720s and a 10. Unbelievable. $150.
That's how I got my signing bonus. But, yeah, Cowboy Nation is pretty strong. A lot of people hate us simply because of the success we've had on the field, our pretty uniforms, the TV coverage that we get, and all that kind of stuff. And they look at us as a white-collar type fan base. And, you know, of course, the Eagles, blue-collar and all that. But in reality, we are a blue-collar, white-collar, yellow-collar, whatever kind of collar fan base you want to call it. But it is strong, and Cowboy Nation has been starving for another Super Bowl. But at the same time, they don't ever forget the success that we've had and attained over the years with the organization, including 5 Super Bowls.
You know, Drew, you're right about that. In my life, man, I've met Cowboy fans, white, black, old, rich, poor. Like you said, from an oil executive and a billionaire to a homeless dude. Everybody, how about them Cowboys, right? That's the way it is, man.
Amen, amen. And you've I started to say you, but you're not Philly fan, are you?
No. I'm a Buffalo Bill fan, unfortunately.
Oh, I'm sorry about that, but but that's the only place I didn't play. That 2 places I didn't play in my NFL career: Lambeau Field and Rich Stadium.
Wow, you never played on the road at Buffalo before, huh?
Never.
You really are a blessed man, Drew.
I had an assignment when I was with CBS, but I never played there.
You really are blessed. I like fix everything worked out for you.
So, amen, Josh.
But Lambo, hey, you see, never played at Lambo. That must bother you a little bit, though, right, Lambo?
No, it does. It does. We played Green Bay, but we ended up playing them twice, I believe, in Milwaukee.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Lambeau Field. So we felt a little shortchanged. That's why we beat them so bad when we went up there.
All right, finally, in closing, as a kid, man, I loved that stuff, playing on the baseball field. Did you hate it, playing in the dirt like the old baseball stadiums?
Yeah, I didn't like it, but I kind of used it to my advantage because, you know, you set up a route. You line up in the grass and the defensive back's in the grass, and you run that route. You end up in the dirt, and you kind of use the pile of dirt, which usually is around second base, to your advantage. You know, you try to avoid it, and the defensive back's got to run through it like he's running through a beach, you know?
Yeah, interesting.
So we didn't like it, but we kind of used it the best of our abilities and to our advantage for sure.
Hey, Drew, you're a class act, man. Great stuff. I really, you know, you were the star. It was so much fun. And we really appreciate you taking the time to be with us. We had you booked already. You didn't stiff us because you're busy. You're a class act, Drew. It's always a pleasure, my man. And, oh, yeah, our boys actually from Jersey said, ask Drew, man, I forget the school, man, but we had a guy in Jersey when you were coming on. He said, man, I went to school the same time as Drew. He kicked our ass every year.
Well, that's probably true because in high school I only lost two games, sophomore year and senior year. My sophomore quarterback was Joe Theismann.
Joe
Theismann.
Y'all
know him as Joe Theismann.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, changed to Ryan with Heisman, huh?
There you go. And he changed that himself.
Hey, always a pleasure, Drew.
Thanks, Josh. You're the man. Thank you.
There's Drew Pearson with us. Yeah, see, there's from the end. Joe Theismann was his high school quarterback. You guys know him as Joe Theismann. Joe Theismann changed his name to rhyme with Heisman. Joe Theismann. Paul Bovey joins us next. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. Great show today. It's really, really flown by. Went a little long with our intro talking about football. We just had Drew Pearson on. And it's funny, Drew Pearson told us, all right, we got to be quick. But then he kept on talking. And now we got Paul Bovey ready to step up. And then we had Paul in the bullpen. He was ready to go. He's looking great. Looked like he had an old school Larry Johnson Knicks jersey on. And we had the Skype ready to go. And then everything froze. Everything froze. So I think we're going to get Paul on via the phone right now to talk about the Raptors and the Cavaliers. And as I stated earlier, the Raptors, they didn't look good against the Bucks. We know this. But they did ratchet it up on defense. They did win the series in six games. I think there was a little bit of an over-criticism of the Toronto Raptors play in that series. And stylistically, they actually match up much more favorably with the Cleveland Cavaliers than they did the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, basketball is all matchups, right? Sports are all matchups. And, you know, the Bucks are a big team, long team. Cavaliers are not a very good defensive team. Nobody really plays defense on that team. Kevin Love's a bad defender. Kyrie Irving doesn't even, like, waste, he doesn't even bother. LeBron is good, but DeRozan's going to be able to get his. It's just the track record, guys. How the hell... Like, if you bet on the Toronto Raptors tonight, how do you do it in good conscience? Knowing that they're 1-11 all time in game ones. Like, how do you do this in good conscience? Not to mention, you know, the Cleveland Cavaliers and LeBron James' success. I believe he's 15-1 at home in game ones or in against Eastern Conference opponents in the playoffs. Hard to keep up with all these stats. They're all just so overwhelming. But when it's all said and done, as much as I want the Toronto Raptors to be able to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers, I'm not sure they can. Like, I'm not sure they can the way they're playing right now. The Raptors just don't have that outside shooter. Now, we didn't have the Skype, but I don't see what the problem is with a phone connection. What's going on here, Warman? Yeah, but we only have 8 minutes, so... Come on, guys.
No good. Fucking.
Paul Bovey with us. What's going on, Paul?
All right, good.
Are we on the phone now or are we on Skype?
Here we go. You got me?
We got you, Paul. Loud and clear. How you doing, Paul?
Hey, buddy. I'm doing well.
Oh, here we are. Yeah, yeah. Looking good in the Knicks jersey, but we're running out of time. We're on the clock now, Paul. So let's get down to business. Raptors 1-11 straight up all time in game ones, Paul. It's really, really, really hard to overlook, isn't it?
It is, and the Cavs are 15-1 in game ones. It is hard to overlook. Toronto's got to hold this team down scoring-wise because these shootouts, they're losing them and they're getting blown out as they did last year where the Cavs scored 113-plus in three of the games and outscored them by 90-plus points. They got to make this a low-scoring game because I'm not sure Ibaka can account for that much differential and allow them to win a shootout here. So let's keep it low scoring and give the Raptors a good shot to win this.
What do you think, though, Paul? The Cavaliers are the first team since the Rockets in 95 to sweep a playoff series and give up 100 points, at least 100 points in every game. You and I discussed those totals in the series, and what, every game went over in the Pacers and the Cavs series. Here we are now with a 208.5. I thought it'd be a little bit higher, actually. What's your take on the total?
I thought it would be a little bit higher myself. But again, I think the Raptors will try to slow this one down, play a half-court game, and I could see this one, if it does go over, just tilting over the number. So it's not something I want to play or get involved in. But again, for the Raptors, they've got to hold Cleveland down to 108, 107 points and keep LeBron in check. Because in that low-scoring game where they lost 94-91, LeBron King was 7 of 16 from the field. It gives them a good shot to win the game.
I was surprised the number was a little higher as well. The oddsmakers are respecting the Raps here.
I think the odds makers are respecting the Raps because the Cavaliers have not been playing that well. And the 4-0 sweep of the Pacers is a facade because had the Pacers hit that first shot, that last second shot of the first game, again, as we discussed the other day, it is a different series. Cavs are skating by, but they managed to win these close games. But I think, as you pointed out the other day, the Raptors are not in fear of Cleveland, and a lot of this has to do with confidence.
All right, Paul, let's talk about the Rockets and the Spurs. History tells us, we have a lot of history here with these rivals, and the Rockets have been on the wrong side of history when it comes to this rivalry between the two of them. Spurs won 3 of 4 this year, Paul. They've won 8 of 10. 8 of the last 10 times they've played. Houston does play a little bit more defense than they used to. They can get stopped, but they still give up 109 points a basketball game. Spurs only give up 99. The Spurs are perplexing to me. I don't think they're as good as their record says they are, but it seems like a good matchup for them against the Rockets. Paul, what's your take on this series and this game tonight?
I think Houston wins this series if they hit their three-point shots. During the regular season, 45 of 154 from beyond the arc, 29%. Yet the Rockets managed to stay close and win one of those games. So they have to stay close, get some calls, because in San Antonio this year, the Rockets were whistled 44 times versus the Spurs only 28. And when they played in Houston, 19-19 and 17-17. The Rockets have hit 83 of 151 inside the arc. So it's just a matter of making those threes because they have a huge advantage inside. Nene and Capella versus Gasol, they beat him up on the offensive boards in a few of those games, 36-12 in two of those games combined. So I think Houston has major advantages in this series, and they could win it, and they should win it.
Paul Bovey with us. All right, Paul, we got about 90 seconds or so, maybe a little bit less. Wizards start off strong. They end up blowing the lead. And not only do they blow the lead, they end up blowing the point spread cover as well yesterday against the Boston Celtics. And an end of an era for the Los Angeles Clippers. They got a million free agents. They're going to have to bust this thing up. I see you're wearing a Knick jersey. And it's a number 4. So is that old school Larry Johnson jersey you have on?
No, it's Chauncey Billups, actually.
that's funny. So you got a Billups, but I got to tell you, Paul, Carmelo Anthony, I think he's going to be a Clipper next year.
He's not going to be a Knick, and thankfully so. And the Clippers, yes, they've got to break him up. They did everything they possibly could to give him that game yesterday. Gobert, only 14 minutes. And, yes, DeAndre Jordan had some nice stats, but it was against Boris Diaw, who they were whistling for breathing on him, and it was all dunks. He blew a lot of chances with good passes in the middle. And, look, Chris Paul had an off game. Give the guy a hall pass. He's been stellar in his career with L.A., and he just didn't get it done yesterday. And neither did Rivers, by the way, who disappeared after the first 6 or 8 minutes when he had 6 points.
Unbelievable. The L.A. Clippers, 5 years in a row, the Clippers have blown a playoff series lead. It's first time ever a team's done this. 5 consecutive years, the Clippers have had a lead in a playoff series and go on to lose it. You know, the track record, interesting. The Jazz are getting 13 in game one here, Paul. We got to get out of here, but I figured I'd throw the opening number out there. Jazz getting 13 in game one, total 208.5.
They are giving this team absolutely no respect. You know, they beat them one game this year. The other game, they fall behind 35-18 and only lose by 7. And by the way, Rodney Hood was out in 2 of those games, and George Hill was out in 1 of those games. Look, they could play this team tough. I don't care what the number is. I don't care what the series number is. They got a shot to give Golden State fits, who everybody is anointing as the NBA champion already. The odds are absolutely ridiculous, and I'm hoping for Utah, not only because I want to see him win, but financially it would be beneficial.
Paul, we got to get out of here. We'll catch up later in the week. It's always a pleasure, my man.
Thank you.
We'll come back with our DraftKings and our plays of the day. All right, we've got 2 games on the National Basketball Association hardwood. Let's jump right in here with Lou Williams, Sweet Lou. Second leading scorer for the Rockets versus the Grizzlies, 18.8 points per game in the series. Added 4 rebounds and an assist per game. The price is more than fair at $5,200 for Lou Williams. DeMar DeRozan, he was a little bit up and down versus the Bucks, but he's got an easier matchup right now against the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Cavaliers don't have anybody that can stop DeMar DeRozan. He averaged 29 points a game this year. Are we going to blast through this? We like Kawhi Leonard, Patrick Peterson, only because, I'd rather get the stars in here. And Peterson's just so damn cheap. Tristan Thompson's a rebounding machine versus the Raptors. Eric Gordon's going to hit some threes. LeBron James speaks for himself. And Corey Joseph, $2,700, man. The guy is the backup point guard, all right? Just give us 15 DK points, Corey. As far as our plays of the day are concerned, I hate doing this because I love the Raptors, but the Raptors suck in game ones, man. They're 1-11 all time in game one of playoff series. I got to lay the points with the Cavaliers. I like the over of this basketball game. Rockets and Spurs. The Spurs own the Rockets, man. They beat them 3 of 4, 8 of the last 10. I'm not biting right here. A lot of people, you like the Rockets, Marcy? No, I like the Spurs here. All right, Penguins. I think the Penguins are a play at -120 tonight. White Sox have been big moneymakers, second most profitable team in baseball. And let's take the Texas Rangers, big dogs. Let's take a shot. Other night, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.